Yeah, this has been an exciting like last 8 months because we've had like four babies born here at Kingman Christian Church. Cambria, and then who was next, Tammy? You can help me out here. Evelyn, and then Hunter, and now, what's his name? Jacob, which is Ashley's son. He was born this week, right? Yeah. So, and then the Mayberries are going to have one. This is awesome. I mean, if you can't grow the church any other way, just let's do it by babies, right? I'm joking. Sorry. I was kidding. I'm sorry. That was bad. All right. Actually, Tammy and I were talking about it. Two of them were from ECA, so we think there's something going on there. Emmanuel Christian Academy. I don't know what it is, but it's in the water or something. All right. Well, we are in 1 Timothy. We're continuing our series. It's just not wanting to come up, or what's going on? No? Same problem. And you dumped the easy worship? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I can't help out. Would you please? Thanks, man. We are doing a series through 1 Timothy. It's called Household Rules, and we are on the fourth rule today. And the reason why it's called Household Rules is because Paul writes to Timothy, I'm telling you these things or writing to you so that you may know how to conduct yourself in the household of God. And so it's been the book has been divided up. I said 15 rules. It's now 16 because I threw rule number 3 in yesterday. As I was rereading the scripture, I thought, oh man, I missed one. So rule number 1 was grow the family. Good job. Rule number 2, protect the truth. Rule number 3, proper attitude. And then rule number 4 today is, let me bring it back up here. Am I doing that or are you doing that? It's going forward, but it's not going backwards. Now, where's the title page? You're the tech guru. Rule number 4 is talk to God. Talk to God. And speaking of talking to God, if you don't have a Bible, Larry has one for you. And anybody need a Bible, just raise your hand. He'll get you a Bible. If you don't own one, you can keep it. If you just need to borrow it, drop it off the table in the foyer on your way out. Communication is pretty important. It's obvious that a family that communicates well functions well. There needs to be communication amongst spouses. There needs to be communication amongst children and their parents. Communication amongst brothers and sisters. Communication is very important. And this chapter 2 in 1 Timothy, if you notice, verse 1, it says, first of all. It's kind of interesting that Paul starts it out this way because as our Bible is divided, there's a whole chapter that we've gone through that has had some pretty important information. And then we get to chapter 2, he says, first of all. And really the reason being is because Paul, in showing how important communication is, he just, in chapter 1, reiterated to Timothy what he had left Timothy in Ephesus for. So I'm sure, you know, as a parent, you want your kids to understand instructions. And it has been my experience that when you give instructions once, things usually don't turn out the way you want them to. So you need to repeat them and repeat them and repeat them. In fact, parents, if you've only given instructions once and your kids don't follow, don't get mad at them. You get mad at yourself. Because you need to repeat instructions. And Paul's doing the same thing here in chapter 1. He just says, now remember, Timothy, the reason why I left you there, if it isn't obvious, let's go over this again. I left you there because there are false teachers and you need to stick up for the truth and you need to encourage these false teachers to turn around, to repent, to change, to develop the proper attitude that leads them to teaching truth and not teaching stuff that benefits them and puffs them up and so forth, you know. So he just went through all that in the very, really the introduction of this letter to Timothy. Now he gets in chapter 2, verse 1, he gets to it. He says, first of all. And I got to thinking about that phrase, first of all. I say that to my kids sometimes. You know, one of them hasn't done something that they should be doing. So I go into the bedroom and I said, okay, now, first of all. And when I say that, what am I communicating to them? Well, I'm communicating, number one, I'm going to say something that is very simple. Something that I think that we can be on the same page about. Something that's simple, that is understandable. Number two, but it is very important and very essential to the rest of what I'm going to say. Okay? And I think that's what Paul is saying here in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He says, first of all, then, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made. Now, he uses four different words there. The word that he used for prayer is a Greek word that is pretty generic. So this is what I'm going to say. Paul begins this by saying, first of all, prayers be made. It's interesting because there are some essentials to the Christian faith. There are some essentials to a relationship with God. And probably the most important essential is faith itself. To not just merely have a intellectual belief, but to have a belief that follows through in action. It's a belief that we believe so much to be true that it influences everything else that we do. So there's the essential of faith, and then there are acts that are kind of a natural outpouring of faith. And I think that prayer, communication with God, is one of the most important essential acts that come out of faith. So Paul is saying in this phrase, first of all, he's saying this, prayer is simple. And as I said, obviously, when you look at a family that functions well, you will probably notice that there is good communication there. God has constantly revealed Himself to us as our Father. He is, Scripture has called us His children. In fact, Hebrews even called Jesus our brother. So we are a family. So it's essential to view this as being a family. So first of all, prayer is simple. Let's get on the same page here. If you have faith in God and He is your Father, you're going to communicate with Him. You're going to talk to Him. I think that's a simple statement that we all can agree upon. But also, prayer is important. As I said, within a family, without communication, families cannot function well. Think about your family growing up or your children, and think about times when it was functioning well, when it wasn't functioning well. Think about your relationship with your spouse. When it's functioning well, the communication channels are open both ways, not just one way. I know men, we think that, we don't have to talk that much and, you know, just act like we're paying attention to our wives and that's enough. That's not enough. There needs to be communication both ways. You know, but when we are communicating well, we function well. And so I think Paul is saying this too. Listen, when you pray, you're going to function well as the family of God. Now, it's interesting to me that he says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made. And he doesn't stop there. There's not a period there. But he says, made for who? For all people. I find that kind of fascinating. I think I have another line up here. Communication, national issues, some faith. I already kind of talked about that one. He says, pray for all people. Now, at this time that Paul wrote this, the Greek and Roman culture was a very spiritual, religious culture. There were hundreds, if not thousands, of gods that were worshipped. Everybody, in some sense, was really religious. And prayer was probably something that came very natural for people. I've said it before that I think most religions, outside of Christianity, prayer is really mainly a selfish endeavor. I go to the temple, I go to the altar, I pray to, you know, I collect idols because I teach a world religions class. I used to have them up in my office, but I thought maybe that was sending the wrong message. I had a little sign that said, "Idols made of wood and stone, please don't worship, thank you for your cooperation." Anyway, I took those down. But in the Philippines, I was given a couple of their idols. They're about like this big, the rice gods. And they hold a little bowl. And these are used by tribal people. Every morning, they get up and they make an offering to these rice gods. There's a male and a female. And they put a little bit of food and maybe a little bit of water or something in the other bowl. But they do that because they're wanting to have a good harvest that year. They're wanting to have food. They're wanting, you know, and so their prayers are selfish prayers. And I think this is the way it really was in ancient Rome and in ancient Greece, that these prayers that were spoken were very selfish prayers. In fact, we really don't need to be reminded to pray for ourselves. Now, I will say this, in our culture today, I think we might need to be reminded to pray, period. So if Paul was writing to us, I think he might say, remember to pray first off. I mean, can you agree with me on that? You know, I will be honest. That has been one of the hardest disciplines in my life, is prayer. And I still struggle with it. I think what it is just that I've got everything I need, in essence. You know, I've got food, I've got a home, I've got clothing, I've got the internet, I got a smartphone, I got, you know, everything I need. And it's hard for me to remember to talk to God. But I will tell you that when I don't talk to God, I often find myself trying to take things into my own hands, do things under my own control, and I usually end up messing up. Prayer is so important to the Christian. So I think for us, maybe Paul would say, you guys just need to remember to pray. But then second, when we do pray, it's easier to pray for ourselves than it is for others. You know, when we get ourselves in some type of jam, the prayer is easy. It comes pretty quick. You know, God, help me out here. Get me out of this. I need something. You know, it's pretty easy. But Paul, I think, is trying to communicate to Timothy that prayer for the Christian who has been given everything that they need through Jesus Christ, we have eternal life. I love that Psalm 118 this morning because in it, that was kind of expressed, I have everything I need. What can man do to me? That our prayers should be less and less of selfish praying and more of selfless praying. Selfless Christians should find themselves praying for others more than themselves. So again, I think that's really interesting. Paul, first of all, then I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all people. For all people. And then he goes a little bit further, but before I go further with that, let's talk a little bit real quick about how we should pray. How should we pray as Christians? Turn with me to John chapter 14. Jesus, the night that he was betrayed, before he was to be crucified, he was trying to get in quite a bit of instruction to the disciples. There's about four chapters here of just instruction, him trying to, maybe this is some of the culminating topics of a 3-year experience with him that he wanted to pass on to them before he was crucified. In John 14, I'm going to start with verse 12. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do. So all we have to do is pray and say, in Jesus' name, and it will happen. Right? That's what it says, isn't it? That's not what it says. In fact, verse 12, I think, really kind of defines what Jesus is talking about in verse 13 and 14. Because verse 12, he says, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. I think that sets up what he's talking about in prayer. Prayer, in Jesus' name, is not some magical incantation. I know there are Christians who teach that. And I think that is grossly taken out of context. Lord, give me a Lamborghini. In Jesus' name I pray. I've yet to see too many Christians who are driving around Lamborghinis, much less in Kingman. But that's not what he's saying. Let me give you an example of what he's saying, and I'm going to use a man that was a part of our congregation, Virgil. Some of you guys know who Virgil is. Passed away about a year and a half ago. Virgil kept coming up to me, probably like 2 years before he passed away. He kept coming up to me and he said, Brian, I just want you to know I'm leaving everything to the church. And those who knew Virgil, he lived in a single wide trailer. He didn't drive a fancy car. I would just shake my head and say, okay, Virgil, no problem. You know, I didn't know what to think. When he passed away, he left this church a good sum of money. And as I was interacting with his family, there were a couple family members that kept asking, well, if you do something with that money, please let us know. And I know what they were implying. Could you do something in Virgil's name? And so I talked to the elders about it, and we decided that it would be good for us to kind of tithe on that, in a sense. And so instead of just taking a 10% of it and doing whatever, sending it to missions or whatever, we really sat down and we thought about what would Virgil do. And one of the things that Virgil was really good at was always giving towards children's functions. He would be, I'll tell you what, right after Rachel made that announcement during greeting, he would have been over to Rachel giving her money for candy. He did that every time. That was the way he was. During light night, he would be giving money towards light night. If a baby was born, Evelyn would have a little quilt that he made. That's the type of person he was. He loved children. And so we decided that we would take a portion of what he gave us, and in his name, we would give Emmanuel Christian Academy a gift. We did it in his name. We did it in the spirit of him. We really thought about how he would have done this, what he might have done, and then we tried to do the same thing. That's what in his name means. When we're to pray in his name, we're to pray in the spirit of Jesus. We're to pray the way that he prayed. Now, a few years ago, big deal was made about the prayer of Jabez. You know, this little obscure prayer, that's the way they would put it, little obscure prayer in the Old Testament. Well, I don't hear much of a big deal being made about how Jesus prayed. And Jesus said, if you pray, pray in my name and I will give it to you. And what he's saying is, pray like me. Do the same things that I do. In fact, you might remember, his disciples came up to him at one point and said, hey, you know, John has been teaching his disciples how to pray. Could you teach us? And so he did. He said, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses. Different versions. I always get mixed up now. Trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. The Lord's Prayer. A model. Jesus didn't mean for us to pray this prayer exactly the way that he prayed it every day of our life. But he said, listen, I'm going to teach you to pray, and I'm going to teach you with a model. And this is probably very Jewish, to be honest with you. He said, I'm going to give you a model, and I want you to pick out the parts of it and then pattern your prayers after it. So we're supposed to pray the way that Jesus prays. How are we supposed to pray? The way that Jesus prays. He gave us a model. And in that model, he reveals that there really are many types of prayers. Now, the one that that, like I said, I don't think anybody has a problem with is a prayer called supplication, where we're praying for our needs. But Jesus says, listen, there's more here than just, because prayer is not just asking God for stuff. Prayer for the Christian is a conversation with the Father. Let me put it, sometimes I don't like it when people call God this because I think it's a little irreverent, but in some way I want to get it across because even Jesus did when he called him Abba. Prayer is communication with Daddy. That's what it is. And just as there's different kind of communication amongst us, there's different kinds of communication with God. You know, my kids, I love my kids. I love having conversations with them. But I don't like the conversation where they're just coming up asking a bunch of questions. You know, I took Kylie to the store with me after church last night. And we're going through Walmart and it's, hey, Dad, can I get that? 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 Can I have that? Can I have that? And I'm like going, stop it. Sometimes I wonder if God's the same way. If he's just like, will you stop it? I provided everything for you. Didn't my son say, don't worry about tomorrow? You know? No, God wants to communicate with us in different ways. And there was a popular acronym. No, not acrostic, right? Acrostic. There's a popular acrostic. Many of you probably have heard it. I'm going to use it today. It's the ACT. I learned it IS. Some people just say ACTS, ACTS, method of prayer or model of prayer. I learned to put an I in there. I say prayer and act is. An act is prayer. There are different types of prayer. There's adoration. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Now, adoration-type prayers get mixed up with thanksgiving-type prayers. Adoration prayers really have nothing to do with what God has done. They have to do everything with who God is. It's a lot. The adoration prayers are a lot like love letters. Now, I'm not very good at writing love letters or poems or things like that, but I know some people are. If you ever read their love letters, they don't say, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. No, they say, you are so beautiful. You just light up my life. I can't even, those are the two I can come up with. I can't even come up with anything else. But you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just like, it's extolling the beauty of the person that they love. It's just pointing out all the good things. And that's what an adoration prayer is. It's, God, you are awesome. You might hear me sometimes. I get up here and I say, God, you're a genius. You're an artist. You're so, I mean, sometimes the best word I can come up with is awesome. I wish we had a better word in the English language because awesome has become so cheap now. Dude, you're awesome, you know. Awesome used to mean awesome, you know. You were big. But it's like, it's going before God and just saying, you are. And being amazed by who He is. Our morning worship prayer right after the first song, that is supposed to be a prayer of adoration. Sometimes we get it mixed up a little bit. We start doing the thank you. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But it really is supposed to be a prayer of adoration. Just really focusing on God, pointing out the great things. That's the reason why we try to read a psalm. Because David was so good at this, and some of the other psalmists were so good at this, and just pointing out these cool things about God. That's a prayer of adoration. A prayer of confession is just that. Going to God and saying, God, I messed up. I messed up. Or God, I need help. Or God, my thought life hasn't been right. Or God, I mean, I think it ends up as being a prayer of supplication, but it's just confessing. The need for God. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. There's the adoration. My mind just went blank. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts or trespasses. That's a confession. God, I mess up. I'm messing up. And I want you to know that. Now, I'm going to say this real quick about these type of prayers. God doesn't need these prayers. I don't think God designed praying for Himself. I used to say this to the teens. I said, God is the perfect being. He does not have a selfish bone in his body. And that's the reason why he can take the adoration and the worship. And so he deserves it because he is the holy God, perfect God that he is. But that's the reason why. But it is because we are selfish people that he has designed prayer and communication. And he says, come to me. Be real with me. Talk to me. Confess. I already know it, so you might as well just say it. Because there's something about saying it out loud than just holding it in. So there's this prayer of confession. There's this prayer of thanksgiving. This is where we get to say, God, you're awesome because of this and this and this, and I just want to thank you. Thank you so much for what you've done. Intercession. I don't need to go on. Thank you. That I think is one of the easiest prayers we do. Thank you, God. Intercession is where we intercede for someone, where we pray on the behalf of someone. All of us should be doing this one. And this really is what Paul is talking about here. Interceding on behalf of others. Praying for others. We are supposed to be sharing the good news with the rest of the world. We're supposed to be making disciples, right? But I'm going to tell you something. Even though God uses you in that, your words, your actions, they may pique the interest of people, but they do not change the heart. God changes the heart. And so we need to be praying often for those who we're trying to share the good news with. Intercede for them. And then supplication is praying for your needs. But Paul says, he throws in the prayers here that we might consider personal or selfish prayers. And he says, first of all, then I urge that supplications, which usually are prayers for ourselves, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings, which again, usually are for ourselves, be made for all people. Forget about yourself, and let's think about others. You've got what you need. I've given it to you. I've made promises to you. Don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow has enough worries of its own. How much more important are you than the grass of the field or the birds who have nests? I will provide. I think he does that because he says, I got this mission for you and I don't want you to worry about these things. I want you to tell the world about me. I want you to tell the world about me. Now, Paul goes from all people, and then he says some specific people. Verse 2, he says, for kings and all who are in high positions. And I understand why he says this, because, and maybe I'm crossing a line here, but I'm just going to tell you, I get mad at our president. And I get mad at our government. And I don't like some of the decisions that are being made. And there are times when I'm just like, I just want to speak badly about them, and that's it. That's not the right thing to do. Paul reminds us, I want you to pray for all people, but I really want you to pray. And this is kind of, in a sense, I think, this is kind of what Jesus said when he said, love your enemies. I want you to pray for those who are over you as well. Those who have some control over your life. Those who are making some decisions that affect your life. And this, and he says, he gives us the reason why. He says, that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified in every way. Pray. There's an implication here. Pray for those who are over you so that you may lead a peaceful and quiet life, godly and dignified. Why is that so important? Well, he goes on. This is good. This is good, and it is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Why are we supposed to live lives that are peaceful and quiet and godly and dignified? Because when we do, such a life leads to freedom. in sharing the gospel. This is God's heart that everybody knows. When you're living like the rest of the world, and I tell you, people in the world always seem to have, I hate to say it, even a lot of Christians, and I wish we could, you know, God says to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. I wish we could get this through our heads. But people in the world are always seem to have turmoil. There's always turmoil in their lives. You know? What is supposed to separate us from the rest of the world is our belief in Christ. And our belief in Christ leads to a peaceful life. A peace that surpasses understanding. And when we're leading peaceful and quiet lives, I mean, we work with people, we're around people, people know what's going on in our lives because we might talk about it a little bit, but if we're not complaining about it. We're just standing up under the pressure. And Jesus actually said, hey, take my burden on yourself, my yoke. It's light, you know. Don't worry about this other yoke. I'm in control of it. Take my yoke. My burden is light. And so you're going through some things, but you've got a positive attitude. You've got a peace in you that is so different. You've got these people, I mean, and it's true, because some of you can testify to this. People in the world come up to you and say, what is wrong with you? What is your deal? Are you on something? Can I get it? I mean, I don't understand. Oh, they just opened the door. Hopefully they opened the floodgates. Well, let me tell you the reason why there's peace. Let me tell you the reason why I can be so quiet about it. Because I got a God who takes care of me. You know how he takes care of me? First off, He sacrificed His Son so that I might have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. God is holy and perfect. He has His holy and perfect law. Man can't do it. And the law says that we deserve to die, but God loved us so much that He provided the opportunity for us to be reconciled to Him through His Son, Jesus Christ, who came to earth and died on the cross, took my death, my penalty, my punishment upon Himself, so that I can have assurance that after this life is over, I'm going to be in His presence forever. I don't have to worry. And that it's not just a future thing, but it's also a present now. I have God who is constantly watching over me. Jesus said that after He ascended to heaven, He sent His Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit indwells in me. The Holy Spirit is taking care of me. The Holy Spirit is encouraging me, is comforting me, is helping me understand and know that no matter how rough this life gets, it's okay. Yeah, I'm going through garbage. I'm going through a lot of crap. Sorry. But nothing compares to the love and provision my Father has for me. Is that something you want? When we can live. So this is the reason why Paul says, I want you to pray for those guys over you, so that you can live that peaceful life. So that you can live that quiet life. So you can be godly, so you can be dignified. I want you, you know, we don't suffer that much persecution in this country, but we do suffer some, and it seems to be increasing little by little. But compared to other countries, it's really nothing. But let me say this, I wonder how much of the persecution that we do suffer here as Christians is our own fault. Because we have not been praying for our leaders. We've not been praying for our government. Sometimes, I love when some of the guys get up here and pray, and they throw in prayers for the government. I mean, I used to think, well, what are you doing that? Okay, that's okay, whatever. You know, now I understand why. You know, I mean, I understand why. We should. We should be lifting up our government. We should be lifting our government up in the service. We should be lifting up President Obama in the service, in our own personal prayer life. If we want to have that freedom, see, our freedom of sharing the gospel is shrinking. And if we want to have that freedom to be able to share the most important news that anybody will ever hear, then we should be talking to Dad about those who are making decisions over us. I think that's what Paul is getting at here. Because I love how Paul brings this back around, because the most important thing is that people hear the good news. That is the when I was in the Philippines, I haven't really talked about my week in the Philippines. I got to do the commencement address for Manila Bible Seminary, and I used the seven churches in Revelation as the text. And there's six attitudes that are there that are attitudes that just are not good for a church to have, and there's one that is really good. But one of the things I pointed out to them was Jesus, when he writes to the churches, he doesn't use the word pastor. He says to the messenger of the church. Now the word is angelos, which the word means angel, right? Angel is a messenger. And I thought it was interesting that Jesus addresses the pastors as messengers. He doesn't address them as elders. He doesn't address them as bishops. He doesn't, you know what I'm saying? But he addresses them as messengers. Why is that? Because the most important thing for us as Christians is to communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone around us. It's important to know that. And Paul says, if you want to do that, pray for those who are over you. I think we just need to be reminded to pray as well, to communicate. Let me wrap this up with some questions here. Some questions that I encourage you to go home and ask yourself and think about. Instead of the word talk, I'm going to say communicate, if you will. Are you communicating with God? Or let me change that around. Are you conversing with God? Are you conversing with God? Are you having a conversation with Him? If you do, what are you talking about? What's your talk like? You know, my mom, my mom set an example for me in things, and shame on me for not following through with them. But one of the things that she always did was, I'd wake up early in the morning to go to school, wake up about 6:30, something like that, 7 o'clock, something like that. And my mom was always up in her chair with her Bible on her lap. Now, sometimes she was sleeping. But she always tried to start out her day with just spending some time with God, just reading the Word and praying. Now, sometimes when I thought she was sleeping, I think she was praying. But the other thing that she did is she really tried to develop this habit of just talking to God throughout the day. And I would actually hear her sometimes under her breath, and it wasn't asking God for something. It was just conversation. Paul says in one of his letters, he says that he tries to pray in his spirit all the time. And I think that's what he's talking about. I just try to converse with God all the time. I mean, if God is really that important, if He really is who He is, He's omnipotent, He's omnipresent, He's omniscient, He's sovereign, He sees everything, He has all power, He is everywhere, He has all knowledge, and He is ruler of the universe, then don't you think we ought to have a little conversation with Him? Yes. So what do you talk to Him about? My mom talked to Him about everything. See that lady in the line there, Lord? I'm telling you, I know that's the kind of prayers that she had. You know? That sure is a nice dress she's wearing. I'm not joking with you. My mom just talks with God. You know? What are you talking about when you talk to Him? How do you talk to Him? Is it just asking Him for a bunch of stuff? I know God hears our prayers. I know He's always listening. And I know He doesn't tune His children out like I do sometimes. But I'm sure He does get a little tired. Come on, you haven't gotten it yet? I've provided it all. What? Why are you asking for that? I know better. I know what you need. It's not that. Okay, finally, should there be a change in your conversation? Or how often you converse. I'd like you to think about these this week. I'd like you to make some life-changing decisions if you need to. I know one thing for sure. Most of us don't pray for our leaders. We need to be. Will you stand with me? I'm going to end a little bit different. I'm going to pray for our leaders. Heavenly Father, we come before you today. We thank you. We thank you for giving us the privilege of being in this country where we have the freedom to gather. We have the freedom of speech to be able to talk about things that we want to talk about and not have to worry about repercussions. We have the freedom to pray together publicly. We have the freedom to worship together publicly. But Lord, we admit that our freedom is being encroached upon. And as I said, and this is my opinion, but I think part of it is our own fault. Help us, Lord. Forgive us if we've gotten so upset with our government and the people in it that all we do is badmouth them or think poorly of them and don't pray for them. And I pray that you'd help many of us to make the decision today to add this to our prayer life, to pray for those who are over us. We pray for President Obama. I don't know him personally. There's a lot of information out there that I think probably is wrong, and there's some out there that's right. But I will say by his fruit, and I'm not judging him, I'm just saying by the fruit of his actions. I don't know if he really knows you. I pray that if he does know you in a little bit, that you would help him in his relationship with you, that he would grow in his relationship with you. And I'm not talking about that he should be making decisions that go along with a certain party line or whatever. I'm just saying that we should be able to see him making decisions that really go along with your word. Put somebody in his life. I mean, he's president of the United States, and there's very few people who can get to him. But I just pray that you would put somebody in his life that really challenges his thinking. That he would dedicate himself to you. There's other people in our government that need that prayer as well. I lift up our senators, I lift up our representatives, I lift up our judges. I lift up all those people who are involved in making decisions that affect us. And I just pray that your good news message would find its way to their hearing, and that your Holy Spirit would work on their heart, that these men and women would come to know you as their personal Savior and Lord. Remind us to continue to pray for them. Help us with ourselves, that we just would quit being so selfish about our prayers. You would really help us develop the right type of mindset. It's not about us. You've given us everything we need. It's about those who don't have what they need. Help us to do a good job. Lord, we love you. We thank you so much. You're awesome. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen.